Just one verse for you, and this is a memorable one and probably worth your memorizing, especially if you're a parent. NIV puts it this way. I like the old King James, but the NIV says, start children off on the way they should go, and even though they're old, they will not turn from it. I like the older version. Raise up a child in the way that he should go. In the end, he will not depart from it. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for this Father's Day. You are a good Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just thank you for fathers and grandfathers and spiritual fathers, uncles who have meant the world to us and who have showed us your love in some unique way or aspect. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless us this morning, Lord. We pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying amen. So this past week, thinking a bit about Father's Day, I noticed how they were really popping up this week. All the bad dad jokes, a lot of those. A lot of one-liners by famous comedians. I love comedy. I love poetry. I love musicians. In some ways, these folk are, in some ways, the prophetic voices of our society. If you listen to comedians today, I've noticed that a lot of them have said that they will not play college campuses or corporate gigs anymore because people are oh so offended by comedy, right? As if comedy was ever supposed to be PC, right? Have you ever heard a PC comedian? I have. They're boring because they don't have that prophetic edge that makes us uncomfortable a bit. So thinking about that, but there's a lot of one-liners by famous people out there. Bad dad jokes. I've shared this one before, but you know, kind of like the time. Uh-oh. Yeah, a man stood outside a delivery room waiting for his wife to give birth. Much to his astonishment, she gave birth to a son with no torso, no arms, and no legs. The son was just a head. Just a head. He loved the boy anyway, and 21 years later on Father's Day, he decided to take his son to a bar for his first drink. And something revolutionary, even miraculous, happened. With the first sip of alcohol, whoosh, a torso popped out. And the bar was silent. And then they burst into shouts of joy. Another. And he had a second drink. And whoosh, two arms popped out. And they were like astounded, right? And they began chanting, again. And he did, and two legs popped out. And he was a whole body now. But the young man was a little tipsy, began to stumble, went straight through the screen door and into the street where he proceeded to get hit by a truck and he died immediately and instantaneously. The entire bar fell silent. The father began to moan in grief while the bartender sighed and said, "That boy should have quit while he was ahead." Yeah, it's a bad dad joke. I know. Promise you nothing. Anyway, besides all the lame bad dad jokes this week, my mind turned to more important matters, different things. Thought about my grandfather that I love so much. I thought about the grandfather I never knew. Thought about my own father who died 4 years ago and would have been 87 this month. And you know, with family who have passed on, have you ever noticed over time their impact on you changes? You see different things that you didn't see before? That's been happening to me. I thought about my sons who have become young men rather quickly. Thinking about Ronan back there, and congratulations, Father's Day for the family there. And they grow up fast, don't they? Really fast. It's really astounding. Thought about my oldest son who just returned this year, stateside after many years. Both my sons are Grizz grads. He got an MBA in entrepreneurship. My youngest son got two separate bachelor's degrees. You may remember a couple years ago we had his wedding in Western China. You know, I thought about how did all this happen and where did all the time go? You know, fatherhood is a sacred trust, and it's kind of a special art, you could say. And it's really crucial for our society and our fragmenting society. And I don't think there's many places other than religious houses of worship and churches, synagogues, things like that, where the family is celebrated in any traditional sort of sense. I think over the years, I confess, I normally would hate to admit this, but you know, we like 10 easy steps to things, don't we? Or 3 easy steps to doing something. But it dawned on me as I thought about that this week, you know, when we want 3 easy steps to or 10 easy steps to something, this is really coming out of fear and not faith, right? We got to know the little program, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that's not a helpful thing, but how often are our reactions out of fear and not faith? We talked a lot about that, especially during COVID, remember? You know, I think we all want assurances as parents. We'd like parenthood, fatherhood, motherhood to be some sort of hard science. If we just do A, B, and C, everything's going to turn out fine. Have you noticed, parents, you can raise your children in the same house with the same rules and values, and they still turn out all different, don't they? Isn't that weird? I'm still trying to figure that out. And different things land differently, don't they? It's a bit of a mystery, I think. The art of fatherhood, and you could say motherhood too, you know, isn't it weird God entrusts it to sinful people, right? We'd love it to be a hard science, but for some inscrutable way, this is the way God has chosen to do it. I think fatherhood and motherhood, kind of a perfect school of sanctification, right? You've got a couple of choices. This will either grow you as a human being and you will grow in holiness and trust in God, or you will kill them, right? There's a reason why they say animals in the wild, especially, well, mothers and father animals, they eat their young. Sometimes that happens in real life too, doesn't it, for human beings? But you will grow as a human being or not. Now, here's one of the best things I've done over the years, just sharing a little bit and thinking about it. You know, over the years, I have spoken to many older Christian men who I respect and trust, and I ask a lot of questions. Ask questions shamelessly. I remember my grandfather, he used to ask people shamelessly for stuff or about stuff. As a kid, he used to actually embarrass me. And then when I got in my late 20s, I think I discovered the secret. And he said to me, he said, why not ask? Because all they can do is say, no, what's the big deal? I was always embarrassed as a kid. It's like, why? So talk to those older men, who have been down the trail of life and experienced more than you. This is a blessing. This is the way it's always been for centuries. This is a biblical value, right? I remember becoming a Christian in high school, and I decided in listening to Christian programming and teaching, at times there would be like family talks or marital talks, stuff. It didn't apply to me at the time, but I thought, well, probably like most people, someday I'll probably be married and I'll probably have children, so maybe I should pay attention as a teenager. And I did, and I'm glad I did. It was very helpful to do that. Because as one man asked a famous philosopher, how long should a man keep learning? As long as he remains ignorant, meaning unknowing, right? Which means he should keep learning to the grave, right? There is a difference, we've said before, ignorance. You can't know everything, but you know what's really helpful in life? I know a dude, I know a guy, I know a woman who, fill in the blank, that's really helpful in the house of God too, you know? But there's a difference between being ignorant and being stupid, right? Let me just say it, you know, I don't know, let me ask some questions, or I think I know and I'm gonna tell you even though I don't know. That's just stupid, right? So ask the questions as long as you remain ignorant, right? Now, many young people think that that's a waste of time, right? Kind of like Mark Twain once confessed, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I turned 21, I was astonished how much the old man had learned in only 7 years. Know that feeling? So a man must keep on learning what it means to be a man, what it means to be a father until the day of his death, because as several wise women in this church have told me and reminded me over the years, no matter what their ages may be, your children will always remain your children, to which the older gentlemen have quietly added, and they will keep costing you money. Have you noticed this? As children get older, they cost more. Strap in, guys. This is just sort of how it works until they leave the house and get a job, right? And all that good stuff, right? So let me ask a couple questions of my Mosaic Church family this morning. First one, I've asked this before. This is really important for guys to pay attention to. And ladies, please be honest. How many of you ladies have or continue to dream of your wedding day? Anyone want to admit to that? That used to be a traditional thing. Some of the older women, I have no recollection. Oh my gosh. But here, this is something you probably observed, right? Guys, pay attention. You know, most men don't think about these sorts of things until it happens to them. Like, have you ever noticed when a woman announces her wedding or a pregnancy, she's not all the time, but she's usually beaming, like happy. And have you noticed the guys? They're terrified. How did this happen? You tell me, dude. You're the one who's freaking out. You know, I just did a wedding, Bryce and Haley, and I have this conversation with the groomsmen every single time. It's like, okay, guys, when you're up there, don't lock your knees, don't start freaking out, because every once in a while you'll have some dude who just crashes. He faints. I've yet to have a lady faint. But a guy's, yeah, and it's like, okay, if you don't listen, okay, that's fine. I'll just stop, I'll slap you around a little bit, we'll stand you back up, and we're doing this thing one way or another. My point is that guys are not well prepared typically in the areas of marriage and children and this kind of thing. Our society hasn't done a great job in encouraging that, I think, over the years. It may be changing, but look at Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and in the end, he will not depart from it. Some of you are in the midst of some hard times with your kids, I know, right? But in the end, God's not done yet. Though sometimes I want to say, like, you know, young. What's crazy is younger people are now asking my opinion, well, about children and stuff, and they start calling me sir, and I'm like looking around for my old man, but he's not with us anymore. It's like, sir is my father. But I'm sort of in that point, I think, in life. So when they ask me, I want to respond like comedian Ray Romano, saying this: having children is like living in a college frat house. Nobody sleeps, everything's broken, and there's a lot of throwing up. That's probably not the most helpful. It might be true, actually. Or alternatively, another comedian, Jim Gaffigan, he's pretty funny, different style of comedian. He said, there should be a children's song. You know this children's song? If you're happy and you know it. No, shut up and let your dad sleep. How about that one? I like that one. More positively, it is a privilege for us as guys to pass on some of this knowledge to the next generation, a few things that God may have shown us over the years, right? I can't speak about raising daughters because I don't have any. I have a few thoughts. I've made some observations. I have nieces, right? But I can say a few things about sons, having two of them, right? Here's my approach to boys, but I think if you have daughters, this could be helpful too. Let you decide that. Here's how I approach it. You know, the training of a young man is kingdom critical. So, and again, the world is not helping us at all these days. But here's the image that comes to my mind when I've thought over the years about training my sons or young men. And it's a picture of a stool with three legs, right? So there's a leg on each one, right? Strange but true. Now, I'm not a woodworker, so this probably is, I'm not at too much risk for this probably today, but comedian David Letterman said this about Father's Day. He said, only on Father's Day, right, do you get that lethal combination of power tools and alcohol. You've been warned, guys, right? Keep all your digits. But I think a young man, and probably a young lady too, should be trained in these three areas, right? Body, mind, and soul or spirit. Let me just say a couple things about each one of these. First, the body. From a young age, a young man must be taught personal grooming, daily showering or bathing, and dental hygiene. You would be shocked how many men are not taught these things growing up, right? You're like, ooh, yeah. Ladies, I'm just gonna say it. FYI, 50% of all the men out there do not wash their hands after using the bathroom. Ew. But I've been told by ladies too that there's a number of ladies that don't these days either. Ew. Right? You're like, why are you saying this? Because I'm your preacher. Wash your hands after you use the bathroom, please. For everybody's sake. Not just gross little boys, but all of us, right? From a young age, my sons were fed well. They were taught how to make healthy choices in the area of food, right? And we did not allow excessive junk food in the house. Frankly, back then, we couldn't afford it anyway, which was just as well, right? They were taught the value of physical exercise. They were not allowed to shy away from hard physical work. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Young men need to learn to work hard physically. It's good for them. A young boy who doesn't learn to work hard physically becomes a societal problem later, right? When we first moved to Montana, I was so pleased because a local family was looking for young men to help buck hay. And I said, oh, here's Josh. He'd love to help you. He was like, what? That was hard work. And he was paid a fairly good wage, but I would have volunteered him for free because it's good for him, right? Yeah. Well, young men should learn to work hard. You know, I allowed them to enjoy and pursue sporting activities of their choice, games that were physically entertaining. Growing up, my sons as minorities on the south side of Chicago, they were taught to defend themselves and others when necessary. Right? Without going into a second sermon here, you know, Jesus said we must be as innocent as doves, but as wise as serpents or snakes. I think Christians get the dove thing mostly right, but the serpent thing, I think we mess up. Some Christians were surprised that I had this policy, and it had to, on the south side of Chicago. Somebody attack you or your friends, you take them out now. And if I hear it takes you more than 20 seconds, then you're going to deal with me. And I promise you, I will defend you at the principal's office. And I was in the principal's office a few times. That's all right if it's for the right thing, you know? Both my boys have black belts in Taekwondo, and I think that's a good thing for young people. It doesn't teach them violence, it teaches them discipline, right? There's no freedom without discipline, people. Well, freedom is freedom. Well, yeah, real freedom in the Lord comes through some discipline too, right? I mean, have you been to Walmart lately? I just want to discipline everybody's child. I avoid it spiritually. It's like, I can't deal with Walmart today, right? Regular doctor visits, dental health checkups, they continue in those. They're in good physical shape. I eat out too much with people from the church. I'm actually in probably better physical shape than I look, probably, right? I would say my sons would say growing up I was somewhat strict, but hopefully fun-loving in the early days, because all these things are important and proper to train up a child in the way that he or she should go, I think. Secondly, the mind. Personal discovery, learning, education, always high priorities, non-negotiables in my household since day one. Daily completion of homework, high grades, academic achievement and excellence, always strongly encouraged and expected, right? Now this, I may be dating myself now, but back then, I only allowed them to watch PBS, Disney, and age-appropriate videos. I was kind of strict about that. Though I wouldn't necessarily encourage that today, right? Has it changed a bit? Is Disney family-friendly? Yeah, okay. So we got to adjust that. Now, back then, they were not allowed to have a TV or a computer in their bedroom. You know, my oldest son went to a math and science magnet school in Chinatown, and well, that's tough when you're in school with Asian kids, you know? And I remember the little Chinese girls coming up because my son didn't have a phone. And they were very serious, they were very direct. And, Mrs. Smith, how come your son don't have phone? We want to call him. And I'm like, he doesn't have a phone because Mr. Smith doesn't have a phone. They're like, huh? It's like, yeah, I don't bother. And they're like, now, we live in a different world now, and I know that's much harder, but are we making good choices in these sort of areas? Media consumption was monitored, and only later in years did I cave into that cell phone, and it was never allowed at the dinner table. Fight for the dinner table, okay? You know, he's underneath as if I couldn't see. You know, even without glass, you know, phone is up. We're not doing that at the dinner table. This is family time. Family vacations always had a fun and educational theme attached, focusing on the beauty of God's world, the value of American history, and Great Commission aspects of world peoples and cultures. For example, one year, we visited all the Laura Ingalls Wilder's homesteads while reading her books. Deb and I loved it. Our sons less so. But we ended up at DeSmit, South Dakota, and we had timed it so that we had Laura Ingalls Wilder's days, and they learned to make rope and do all kinds of fun stuff, and they liked that one. But, you know, this is also, you know, I'm eternally a Boy Scout, fun with a purpose, right? So we did that. Another year, we visited all major colonial towns on the northern eastern seaboard. That was instructive. That was fun. Another had us eating our weight in barbecue in the south where my grandmother was born. That one was popular. It took me 3 months to get my cholesterol down after that one. I'm not joking. But it was fun. You know, others included wilderness camping, refined outdoor Boy Scout skills, leading to both my sons becoming Eagle Scouts. This is fun with a purpose, because I believe all these things are important in training up a child in the way he should go. And then thirdly, finally, the Spirit. From their infancy, they had their the scriptures, the Bible read to them before bed. You've heard me say this before. And when they started crying about the Bible, we don't want to hear the Bible story. You know, then I got out Aesop's Fables and stuff like that. And then when we don't want to hear any more animal stories. Okay, here's the Bible. And it worked for years until they figured out the gig. It did work for us, for me anyway. But they were in church every week. They went to Sunday school, taught by godly men and women, and fellowship events. They were encouraged and loved. I was so grateful for my church in Chicago because it was filled with PKs. That was really helpful. You know what a PK is? Preacher, pastor, kid. You know an MK? I know Janie's an MK. Missionary kid. We got several here today. It was so helpful because they had perspectives. They knew the pressures of growing up as the son of a pastor, a minister, and I was so grateful for that. I never made them go to every church event just because the church door was open. If you listen to PKs, they're like, we were there every day and every night. I didn't make my kids do that. They may say that, but that's just not true, right? They loved having missionaries in our home. Fellowship groups and meals in our home, they are really tuned into Matthew 28 because that was our life, right? The Great Commission. They watched me minister and help the homeless, though sometimes the smell was overwhelming. My son's bedroom was on the second story of the church parsonage in Chicago, facing the alley. And my oldest son would laugh because he would just sit there watching the homeless go through the alley, urinating or fighting. He's laughing. I'm like going in there, what is going on? He's like, hey, Dad, the homeless are having another punching fest in the alley. And they're out there fighting each other. And it's just like, that was our lives, right? You're like, well, it's terrible. No, it's actually pretty interesting and pretty helpful when you think about the love of God in people's lives, right? They were encouraged to cultivate their own passions and dreams. All of this is important in training up a child in the way he should go. Now, have I done it all right? Just ask my kids. No, probably not. Could I have done some things different or better? Absolutely. Do I have regrets? A few, not many, to be really honest with you, right? I'll never forget what one of my early college pastors had to say about how a man learns to die to himself. Susie had a good point after adult ed today, too. It's like, you know, we talk about, her point was, you know, when ladies have a baby or they're pregnant or whatever, their body chemistry actually changes. We're like, we all get that. But actually, so does the dudes. I mean, it starts with absolute terror. I remember when my wife announced, I'm pregnant. I was stupefied. Like, how did that happen? Duh. And I didn't know what to say. I went for a half hour walk and just talked to God. That began some changes in my life, absolutely, for sure. But one of my early college pastors said this. He said, the minor leagues in death to self is marriage. Mm-hmm. The major leagues in death to self is having children. Right? I think many of us can agree to that. Right? I found that to be true. Isn't it ironic? Have you ever noticed this? You have to have a license to drive a car. Except when you're in Chicago and certain groups like Mexicans and Chinese don't. But that's beyond that. You need a license to drive a car, but not to have a child. Don't you wish some people had a license? Wait a minute, do you have a license to be raising that child? You need one. Have you ever thought that? Don't mean to sound judgmental, but this is serious business, isn't it? Right? To train up a child in the way he should go, lots of prayer and discernment. Many tears and much patience. Right? We've told you about, right? Be careful about praying for patience, because God will give it to you, and you know how he does that. Probably through your children, right? In this case, right? Conversation I had very early in my ministry career. This was really instructive. My first church in New York City in the Bronx Borough. I had a woman come to me, a Christian mother, had a very wayward child, And I was only 24 at the time, newly married, no children. I wasn't even sure how to encourage or comfort this woman, but she compassionately told me this in her tears. She said, God's word says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and in the end, he will not depart from it. And she said this to me. She said, Pastor Jim, God's promise is that in the end, my child will not depart from him. God's not done with my child yet. Amen. Some of you are struggling with your kids. You're like, oh, Lord, God's not done yet. Right? Comedian Steve Harvey, you know, said, he had a comedy skit about this years ago. He said, people would get mad at him. He said, stop tripping. God ain't done with me yet. God ain't done with your kids yet. He's not done with you yet. I remember saying once to my oldest son, I said, Zach, you remember when you were growing up? He's like, yeah. I said, guess what? So was I. And he was like, huh? As if parents are frozen in time. Sometimes kids think that, right? It's like, no, we're growing, we're learning, hopefully, as well. If we're not, ooh, we're in trouble, right? Well, let me leave you fathers and maybe moms too with three pieces of spiritual encouragement and advice this morning. Again, first of all, guys, surround yourself with godly men who are fathers, preferably older men who know more about fatherhood than you do, right? This is biblical. This has been done for centuries. That the elders would actually teach us. We live in a society where we throw away our old people. What sin, right? These people should be, these are our resources. The people in their golden years have a lot to say. But as one person told me that I never forgot, if they ain't asking, they ain't listening. So I don't offer unsolicited advice anymore unless I'm asked or unless somebody's really wanting that. You know, even though I'm a preacher to do that, it's like if they ain't asking, they ain't listening. So why bother talking to a wall? You know that feeling, parents? Well, God's not done yet, is he? Secondly, get all the good Christian teaching and training and get your hands on. These will give you invaluable tools along the way, right? There's so much good stuff out there, isn't there? Now, third, if you're a father of sons, you might think about this three-legged stool idea that I shared. It's just worked for me, right? Specifics may vary, but young men, and I dare say young ladies too, right, should be trained in body, mind, and spirit. Amen? Yeah. Gentlemen, we who are fathers or grandfathers, or maybe fathers one day, right, be encouraged. We have a good and gracious Heavenly Father. You don't need to live in fear. Right? God is calling us to live in the light and the power of the resurrection through his faith in his son, Jesus Christ. You know, the raising of children is an art, right? You know, when you go to the doctor, you know, they used to say this, they're practicing medicine. Have you ever had a doctor, you're like, this doctor is better than that doctor? Because they're practicing the art of medicine. This used to be a thing said among Christians. Do you practice your faith? And I'm not talking about works religion and all that. I'm talking about, you know, we're here for a reason. Some of you got up this morning, I don't want to go to church, you know. And some of them probably rolled over and whatever. I can't do that. I have to be here. But some mornings I'm like, I'd like to stay in bed too. But it's good to be with you. It's good to be in God's house. You know, the raising of children will not be accomplished by 3 or 10 easy steps. It will be done by submitting to our Father who art in heaven. So we have this command, this promise of the Word of God. Memorize the verse, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and in the end, she will not depart from it. So in closing, let me practically remind us all of 5 things that we will never ever or should ever expect to hear from our fathers. Number one, would you please turn up that music? You're not going to hear it. Number two, you might hear this one. Hey, that tattoo looks great. We should both get new ones together. Maybe not. Number three, yeah, sure, go ahead and take my car. Here's $50 for gas, too. You're not going to hear it from your father. Shouldn't. Probably not. Number four, I hope you'll never hear this one. Your mother and I are going away for the weekend. Why don't you invite all your friends and buddies over for a big party? No. Any of you ever discover after you were gone for a minute that you had a party? There's always, you know, they cleaned up really well, but there's always signs, isn't there? It's like, oh, got you. And number five, you'll never hear this from your father. Here's the remote. Not going to hear it. Not going to hear it. Happy Father's Day. Guys, if this is your friendly pastoral reminder, if your father, grandfather, maybe a favorite uncle is still alive, give him a call after church. Just thank him. Say, just thank God for you. I'm so glad you're in my life. And if you don't, spend some time today praising God for the men that have been a part of your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for this Father's Day. Thank you. You are a good and gracious Heavenly Father. And I know, Lord, some of us have had all kinds of different experiences with fathers or father figures or stepfathers. But Lord, we just thank you for the men in our lives. We thank you for fathers, grandfathers, spiritual fathers, uncles, these men that have made such a difference in our lives. We're grateful today, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, saying, amen.